CJLO Radio Concordia.
For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mushtahid. After struggling with limited space in the past, Montreal's McCord Museum will undergo a massive expansion that will triple the exhibition space. The new $180 million expansion will combine the McCord and the recently merged Fashion and Stewart Museums. The plan, which was announced on April 30, proposes to build a brand new structure on top of the existing McCord Museum on Sherbrooke Street near McGill University. The architectural firm that will design the final plan has yet to be chosen, but museum officials say some parts of the original building will be kept. Museum officials also hope to convince both arms of the government as well as private investors to fund the project equally. Upon approval of the project, the McCord Museum will be closed for at least 3 years during the renovations. This year's flood became the worst recorded in the history of the province of Quebec, when more than 6,000 people fled their homes in a matter of hours in Sainte-Marthe-sur-le-Lac, when a dike breached and water covered one-third of the homes in the small town. After ruling out the idea of holding an emergency debate regarding the flood situation, Premier François Legault says the government will strike a committee of cabinet ministers to come up with an action plan to deal with the aftermath of the devastating spring floods. Short-term measures will include reimbursements for flood damage. As for long-term procedures, the action plan contains measures for building infrastructure, as well as relocating homeowners out of flood zones. Celebrated around the globe each year on April 30, the International Jazz Day highlights the power of jazz as a force for freedom and creativity, while promoting intercultural dialogue through respect and understanding. This year's International Jazz Day came to a thrilling close after an extraordinary all-star global concert at the Melbourne Arts Centre's renowned Hamer Hall. As part of the annual event, 2 weeks of jazz performances and educational outreach programming took place in cities across the host country, Australia. Thousands of students in Sydney's New South Wales public schools took part in jazz education programs at the Sydney Opera House. Other highlights included a special Jazz Day performance at the Adelaide Festival Centre and a Women in Jazz celebration in Perth. The global host city for International Jazz Day 2020 is Cape Town, South Africa. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Callmunity proudly presents the second annual Callmunity Music Week, featuring Smith & Wesson, Mumu Fresh, Lady A.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. Baby, just use your mind.
Welcome to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 69 AM. I am the Golden Dragon, Erdine Batzorig.
And I am the Golden Tigress, Christina.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
I hope you guys had a wonderful week. I hope it's not too cold for you. It kind of feels like a winter spring.
Really?
Yeah.
No, very I don't chilly. Think so.
It feels like a mix of both. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm going crazy. So, guys, today we will be talking about passion. You know, the drive, the go-getter attitude, the willpower, the push, the perseverance you have when you go after what is most important and fulfilling to you, be it with your family, a job, your education, for a loved one, just passion. So each one of us has a different purpose, but we all want to live our best and truest lives, right? So we'll discuss where this passion actually comes from, how we way too often the way in which we manifest our emotions as women is misunderstood by men, and later on we'll discuss how passion is different but is also related to self-curiosity. So first of all, where does this passion come from? We know that passion involves an intense and uncontrollable desire or enthusiasm for something, but it doesn't come out of thin air, right? It's got to come from somewhere. So in an article I read from Girls Chase, I found that passion stems from the sense of curiosity. Now, you want to know everything, right, about how the world works, the world around you. You want to try everything and almost everything at once. We are naturally curious creatures, right? So it stems a lot from that. Also, upbringing plays an important role too. It's like this kind of intergenerational passion. So if your mom or your dad had owned a business and was very passionate about it, chances are you might like it as well, right? You might have a passion for it as well. And I feel like women tend to copy their mothers or other female figures in their lives because they want to be like the best daughter or the best mother or sister or aunt, all while living this like fulfilling, balanced life full of prosperity. So our lives are, they act as this balancing act, if that makes any sense. I feel like we're all trying to just be the best humans and also strive for the best. So, and it's sometimes this is really hard to manage. So, yeah. And then the third thing was passionate people want so badly for their energy, for the energy they feel to be felt by their peers. So they have this like contagious type of energy, right? So they have this duty of bringing people together and encouraging them to set goals for themselves and be as passionate as they are. So they have this tendency to share a lust for life. Do you have that lust for life, Erdene?
I definitely do.
Yes? I feel like, yeah, your passion, when you speak passionately about something, I feel like it's contagious. Like other people feel it as well. You know, you have that contagious energy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess it depends on what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think everyone can be passionate about certain things. Mm-hmm. It just depends on like what you're passionate about, how you're feeling about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're super passionate about? Like, what's your number one passion?
I don't think there's such thing as number one passion. There shouldn't be such thing as number one passion. You can be passionate about a lot of things. And mm-hmm. I think passion is something that evolves and comes alive and something that develops you as a person. I've always been very passionate about women's rights and like ending gendered violence, the pay gap, you know, all of those stuffs. Mm-hmm. I think it just really, really depends on the situation. There are different categories of passion as well. So I think my passion is like a pizza sliced into different things.
I like that. I feel the same. I feel like I'm passionate about, you know, writing in general, but I also have passions for music and fashion and all those things. So it's kind of this, it works the same way. It's like a pizza. Pizza of passion. Passion pizza. That's fun. So yeah. And yeah, so I feel like, well, back to women. I feel like when women are passionate about something, we tend to like get, I find men, especially men, view us as like too emotional or too dramatic about something.
I don't think so. I think men just find women when they are speaking out, yeah, not necessarily against them, but when they just are using their voice, men tend to use that as an excuse for women being like too passionate, too emotional. I don't think that's the case, because a man could be saying the same thing, very emotionally screaming, but no one would say that man is emotional.
Well, that was my point. Like, I feel like when a woman speaks passionately, she's like crazy
when women speak irrational. Passionately, though.
I feel like...
Even if I was speaking like this, I've had instances when I was like, I speak like this in this tone, and men call me, you're emotional, you're acting this way, you're being this way. Yeah. And the fact is, like, you don't even have to be passionate if you just, like, correct the man or, like, whatever. And it's not necessarily just even men. I think a lot of people use excuse as, like, when they don't want to agree with something, you know, when something isn't going, conversation is going kind of awry, they say, oh, you're being too emotional. Calm down. I don't think that's right. I don't think tone policing is right, whether it's coming from woman or man.
Right. Yeah. I feel like I've been put in many situations where I would speak passionately about something and the man would say, like, okay, like, you're being too much, too emotional. You're being too, like, you have to stop, you know, because you're putting too much of yourself into it. But, I mean...
You shouldn't hang out with them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't anymore. So that's a good thing. Yeah. So, yeah, and I feel like even this, like, upbringing, like, women are... the women in my mother, for example, she tends to... She's very passionate about her job. She's a director at a daycare. So I feel like that... And she always talks about it. So I feel like I'm constantly being exposed to a woman, a very passionate woman. And I feel like it rubs off on me a lot. You know, do you feel that with your mother? That
you live like with your mom. I don't live with my mom. So, no.
But when you did, I mean, when she would speak passionately about a certain subject, would you end up like a sort of adopting that passion that she had?
From the get-go, I was a pretty intense and passionate person.
Yes.
So I feel like it's the other way around.
Okay.
Like, my mom was always like, you're quite intense. But I don't think it's that my mom spoke with passion. I think she exhibited it through her actions, through her dedication. And like I said, just growing up in a single parent household, my mom didn't have a steady job where she was like, you know, oh, she could dedicate her life to this career. But the fact that she worked day and night so hard to provide for her kids, and like as an immigrant, it's really hard, like learning English and stuff. I think that was the passion that I saw. And I think a lot of aspect of passion is that for a lot of people of color and like immigrants, passion isn't something that you're afforded.
How so? That's interesting that you mentioned
you can
that.
Have passion, but the fact is, you're an immigrant. You are at the bottom of the chain of society. You have to learn English. You have to earn your place in society before you can start dreaming about society. I've been told so many times that it's better to chase a career or do something that will be financially rewarding, bring you stability, bring you that status that so many people who are not basically white do not have. So... I feel like passion is something that you really have to develop on your own, because you really, like I said, you're not afforded that opportunity to be passionate and like chase your passions all the time. I mean, of course, there are cases, and I've been very, very lucky to do what I want when I want. But again, at the same time, in passion, you cannot overlook the hard work that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And passion is not pretty. There's a lot of work that goes into being passionate. It's not something like, oh my God, I love something hardcore, because there will be times you won't love something. There will be times when it's hard, and being passionate means that you have the discipline and the work ethic to actually stick it out and go through with it, because you will get bored.
Right.
And it's hard and it's expensive.
It is very expensive. Emotionally draining as well. I completely agree. And... Well, I feel like, I haven't found my true passion yet, so I don't really know how that feels. I'm just like testing the waters at this point in my life. Like, I'm curious about a lot of things, but I'm sure that when I do find it, that it's going to be a hell of a roller coaster ride. Right? So, can we play this song? No?
Okay. I mean, well, we have a song, but I want to play it a little later on.
Okay.
Why not? If y'all want to play some music, we can. But we do have a commercial break coming up soon, though.
So we could play it after the break anytime.
So, please don't go away. We're going to be talking more about passion and everything that comes with passion, the good and the bad. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection on CGLO 1690 AM. After the break, we'll be playing Yungling. I don't know how to pronounce the song, but it's amazing. And it's cool by name. An amazing artist called Ari Lennox. I love her so much. So stay tuned. Zongo. Away.
Call Munity proudly presents the second annual Call Munity Music Week, featuring Smith & Wesson, Mumu Fresh, Lady Alma, Micah Shamaya, Larnell Lewis, Rich Brown, Dwayne Morgan, Motion, Spec One, Travis Knight, Keisha Fresh, Sedina, Acid Anaki Whaler, and many more. Canada's first Black Arts and Music Week goes down from April 28th through May 5th at Resonance Cafe, Salon Raphael, and Petit Campus. Visit callmunity.com for info, calendar, and tickets. If you love jazz, hip-hop, spoken word, reggae, afrobeat, funk, house, soul, dance, or black art, then you can't afford to miss the second annual Callmunity Music Week, April 28th to May 5th in the gorgeous city of Montreal. It's your homeboy Preach in the building, and this is a CJLO co-presentation.
For the best new music from around the globe, with a respectful nod to the musical pioneers of the past and a whole lot more, join me, Danny Payne, on The Pressure Drop every Monday at 5 on CJLO 1690 AM or CJLO.com.
Welcome back to CJLO 1690 AM. You are listening to Sparkling Introspection.
Before the break, we promised that we will be playing a wonderful song, but we really just had to come back and tell you one more time how great this song is. It's by an artist called Ari Lennox. Oh my goodness, she is a wonderful. And she has her album coming out on May 7th, so do come check it out. And this is Yungling by Ari Lennox.
Don't have to tell the word that you own.
That was Yuengling. What a great song. Beautiful, beautiful song. I was kind of vibing to it. I was like, ooh, it's very calming. So before the break, we were talking about where passion comes from, right? It comes from this sense of curiosity, also upbringing, right? This sort of intergenerational kind of passion, and also how the passion tends to be contagious, right? So if you have someone who's really passionate about something, it's going to show and they're going to sort of bring it to the group, right? And, you know, have a positive impact on the group. So now I feel like I'm going to get into more of the how men view passionate women, especially in the workplace. I found this one example that is really going to illustrate my point. I feel like a lot of men mistaken our intense passion for jobs, passion for our families, or passion for anything for being too overly emotional. If she's talking too much about what she loves or too passionately, she's considered annoying or naggy or just like annoying. So I have a good, yeah. So this example I found on the Harvard Business Review. It discusses a woman named Claudia. Now, Claudia is a VP at a consumer's product company, and the sales had declined tremendously in this company. So all the higher-ups held this like executive meeting, and they talked about the effectiveness of the product and how that could have been the reason why sales went down. So Claudia chimed in and told everyone, mostly everyone at this meeting was mostly a man, that the sales team was apathetic and needed to work on closing their deals. Basically, she was telling them that she was challenging their ability to make sales. So her delivery was, during this time, very animated. You know, she was making a lot of gestures. She was speaking loudly, you know, speaking intensely about it. And the tone of her voice was higher than usual. So you can tell that she cared a lot about her company. I don't think she was probably trying to be mean in any way. She was just being very assertive. So just before she proceeded to elaborate on her points, a male colleague made this like director cutting a scene gesture, like a sweeping his hand across his neck, like stop talking. So the other execs were staring at her in shock. Maybe they felt intimidated by her, but she was just being herself, right? She was just showing her passion. So of course, Claudia was very upset by this, so she confronted him after the meeting. He apologized, but told her that she reacted with too much emotion. And he said that you were off point and your tone seemed excited and inappropriate. So then I got a really good quote from this article that says, open quote, "It's a recurring theme in our coaching sessions with women. Although passion has a legitimate place in a business, it can be misinterpreted, especially when women are doing the communicating and male colleagues are on the receiving end. That's what we found in our review of more than 1,000 360-degree feedback reports on female executives. When women fervently sell an idea or argue against the consensus, for example, we've seen that male colleagues or managers say things like, she was too hyped up, she was too emotional, whereas the women themselves say they are simply advancing their cause or expressing an opinion, albeit passionately. So how do you feel about this? About the situation that happened with the woman. You know, she was just trying to say, you know, what she felt, but she was being stopped. She was being hushed because she was being too animated for them, too over the top. You know, I find that's not right. Like, you have to be, I feel like in order to work, and in the workplace, you're supposed to be passionate. You're supposed to love what you do. You know, nobody should stop you from doing that. And just because, why? Just because she was a woman that, you know, like, she has to speak, you know, very eloquently and, like, be calm all the time and, you know, always be on her best behavior, sit down, be quiet. You know, she can't speak up for herself. What do you think about that?
I feel like this is very close to what I said before. Mm. The fact is that no matter whether a woman is in the workplace, outside of the workplace, there is an impossible standard and expectation set on women. And it's not that men only want women to be eloquent, quiet. It's that men want women to be what they tell them to be. To be quiet when they tell them to be quiet, to be loud when they tell them to be loud. And in other cases, they could have told her, you weren't loud enough, you weren't passionate enough. But at the end of the day, these are... But like I said, it's tone policing.
Yes,
I don't want
that's
to,
exactly
I don't
what
want
it is.
My tone to be, you know, be like told how I can speak, how I cannot speak. Because at the end of the day, when you step into a workplace, you are all trying to achieve a goal. Mm-hmm. And your goal, whether it's to sell a product, market something, achieve a goal, you know, work on a campaign. And I think you have to work together. And whatever differences you have, you need to leave that at the door and work on it and do your best. And I think she did do her best. And it's really sad that men just can't, their egos cannot take a woman doing a great job and they're being showed off. Their toxic masculinity is so small and weak. That's how I feel.
But I feel like men have more of a problem when the woman is being too much, if she's talking too much or she's being, you know, too passionate about something. If she's being too quiet, they'll be like, okay, you know, you're quiet, you know, you have to kind of speak up more.
No,
contribute
I feel
more.
Like but it, when they, women are quiet, they tend to say things like, well, you never spoke up, you don't really contribute, and women don't really work hard. And there's like a big conversation going on right now in the gender gap where a lot of the times they say like, oh, men work hard. Men are willing to do hours that women aren't. Men are willing to push. Men are willing to like put themselves out there. Women have periods. Women have this. Women are like this. I don't think that's right. I think it just depends on the man. And if a man wants a woman to be quiet in that moment, he'll be happy. And if she's not, he'll call her out and tell her she's crazy, gaslight her. And if she needs to be loud, and if she's not loud, they'll say, oh, you don't do anything, you're too quiet, you never speak out, so how are we supposed to know what you're feeling? So it always comes back to the victim. It always comes back to the woman being responsible to educate them, be five steps ahead of them, be aware of them. I feel like women always have to be on.
Yeah, they always have to be on guard. That is very true.
No, not even just like on guard, just on. You have to be aware. You have to be always noticing things. You have to be ready to smile. You have to be ready to take it back. You always have to be on. There's no like off for you. As a woman in this society, I always feel the need to be, like I said, on, but also like few steps ahead. And not just with men, like
with
white woman, you know, because as a woman of color, I am pretty low on the chain. So, you know, there's like definitely pressure to go up and get up there, you know.
But have you experienced this in the workplace where a man was punishing you or, you know, telling you that you're too much?
Of course. Hello, have you not met me?
I
am literally a loud, intense person who didn't even speak English that well. And a lot of people used to be like, I don't understand what you're saying. Your accent is too thick. You're so loud. Can you speak quietly? Okay, calm down. You're being crazy now. Like,
really?
Okay, hush. I don't think... Like, that's not necessary right now. Your energy's a lot. And in Canada, we're polite and we don't talk like that. I have gotten those so many times.
Wow. And how would you react? Like, what would you tell those people? Would you just, like, go on and talk?
I don't think I
can
swear on air, but...
No, but would you just carry on and say what you have to say? Or would you be quiet and walk away? Like, what would you do?
I mean, there has been so many instances, and I don't think I've ever reacted the same to any of them. But most of the time, I will. And also depends on the person, because some people, you just don't want to waste your time because they will never understand. And also, it's also not women's jobs to, like, always be emotionally available to educate these people and tell them, like, why it's wrong to hush women, because they should know this. And...
But clearly, they,
like, we're not working with 3-year-olds, you know. So most of the times, I just be like, I think not. I will say what I have to say, and if you can't listen to it, that's on you. Just like, you know, this is my opinion, and if you don't want it, no one invited you to this conversation. You can leave. If you don't want it, that's fine. It's okay.
That's great, and well, I'm sure at that point they would. Probably listen to you.
They don't.
Because they don't. Never. Also, I know you don't like being interrupted. I'm sure you got interrupted by so many men in your life. Yeah. That's annoying. Well, just being interrupted by anybody is annoying, but, like, a man who is very, like, chauvinistic and, you know, projects his ideologies on everybody and loves to hear the sound of his voice, you know, interrupting you. Oh, that drives me batty. So, yeah, and I also found another example of women, I guess, in relationships. This is pretty typical that, you know, they're seen as very emotional or crazy if they speak in a certain way. So, on a blog post I found on Broken Girl Unchained, it's a pretty cool site, states that women, open quote, women, especially strong women with strong opinions, are misrepresented as crazy. The label is damaging to women. We are constantly told we're too difficult to love, understand, and out of control. So,
the blog post... Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So the blog post, it focuses on Juliet. She's a divorced woman of 4, and she's super passionate about her family and setting up the best life for her children, like any other mother would. But her husband at the time, which is now her ex-husband, was really not on the same page as her. Like, he didn't really put his all into the family. So she had problems communicating with him. And she said, like, for example... Open quote, I'm in the middle of trying to lock down a solid co-parenting schedule with my ex-husband. He's a tough person to communicate with. Everything eventually ends up in a fight. I feel like we can't even discuss something as trivial as a pickup and a drop-off times for our children without it dissolving into something different. Let me tell you, this is nothing new to me. We have struggled to communicate with each other since long before the divorce, so I know I'm fighting an uphill battle with this man. His favorite insult to me is that I'm a psychopath, he actually told her that, or his new favorite, I'm harassing him. So just by having this co-parenting relationship with her husband, and by wanting, like, she has to beg, demand for the communication, demand for his attention, she's seen as a psychopath. You know, that's pretty intense. Like, the whole foundation of a relationship is communication. And if you can't get that, then, you know, like, it's... those are the basics, right? And he was telling her that she was basically crazy for wanting that. You know, imagine if your significant other or your husband would tell you that. You know, you're trying to have a co-parenting relationship, but he's stopping you.
I wouldn't. I don't think that, like, in relationship wise, I don't think that has a lot to do with passion, but just not being respected. Mm. I think that's a problem, and I would never, ever get married or become partner of someone who doesn't have that kind of decency.
Yeah.
And uses such pointed language like that that he doesn't understand, because a lot of people throw these words around. I mean, myself included, like, you're psychopath, you're crazy, but they don't understand the connotation those words carry and the deep, deep, deep traumatic, you know, meanings to those words, because a lot of people who are suffering from those things, you know, they've been traumatized and taunted with those kind of languages, and it's just, it's irresponsible to be throwing those words around. And yeah.
Well, this woman in particular, I mean, she's a very hardworking woman. She had a business that she ran, worked 7 days a week, you know, fend for her kids, all that. But he just, he would find that she's too much, and he wouldn't respect her. So then that's why she decided to divorce him, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, she's like, it's pretty discouraging for her, you know, because, you know, you're putting your all into something. You're putting your all into raising your family and having this beautiful family unit. But the husband is like, meh, don't want it. Don't want to have anything to do with it. So you have this super passionate person and then an unpassionate person together.
Well, you don't know he's unpassionate. I think he's just a jerk, to be honest.
Well, yes, a jerk. And also, he didn't really put as much effort as she did in the family. From what I read, I don't know them, I don't live with them, but that's from what I gathered from it. And I'm sure so many other families are in this predicament, you know, where the woman is putting so much, you know, like she's trying to juggle everything, and the man is just taking a back seat and looking at everything. Like, wow, you know. I just find that that's too bad. So, I mean, have you, in your life, have you, I'm sure you've experienced this, where the woman would take on everything and be passionate about making her relationships work and have the success of the family, right? But the man is just passively going through everything.
I don't, like, for me, I find many situations with men when they're just, like, passive. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm very, like, at this point, I'm very certain that in a family situation, passion doesn't really have a whole play into it. It's just literally basic human decency. Because when two people get married, mm-hmm. that's fine if you're just the two of you. When you decide to bring kids into this, it's more than passion. Oftentimes, people are not going to be like, I'm passionate about my kids.
I think it's about the
fact that, I mean, you've brought this human being into the world. You have to carry your duty and take care of them and make sure they, you know, are living a good life, decent life. And I know the fact is, like, it's not just passion. My mom, there are times when she was not passionate about me. Hmm. Okay? Because it's hard raising kids.
It is.
It is so hard, especially as a single mother. It's incredibly hard. There are times when you don't like each other, you fight with each other, you're struggling to pay rent. Those are times when it's just love.
Yeah, but I feel like that involves passion as well. Because you have to want to have this family. It comes from an intense willpower.
I mean, from my family perspective, both me and my sister were unplanned.
Oh, okay. Well, my sister and I were.
Yeah, and so I think it's like different family dynamics. Like, you come from a very different experience than I do.
That's very true.
And once you bring in family, I think it's like passion is just a one slice of it.
Right.
You have so many other responsibility when it comes to having a family, you
but
know?
Don't I feel like passion involves responsibility. It all comes together. They all work hand in hand, I feel.
Yeah, that's why I said slice.
But I feel like passion is like the root of everything. You have to have, like, what makes you wake up every day and go to work or go to school?
Sense of duty?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's passion.
But you said you haven't found your passion yet.
Well, passion, like, I see passion and willpower for me are synonymous. So you have to have the willpower, the passion to get up and to be your best self, to, you know, accomplish your goals for that day. I see passion on different levels. Like a passion, what I mean when I said I didn't find my passion yet is that I didn't find my purpose. I haven't aligned my career choice with my purpose. But the passion I'm talking about for every day is the willpower. If that makes, for me, it makes a lot of sense. I see passion in different ways and in different, like, it has different meanings to me.
So are you saying you're passionate about life?
I'm passionate about life, for sure. Life in general, how it works, everything about it. Yeah. You're a very passionate individual as well. I feel like passion, it comes from something that, it comes from within, right? When it said, when I read the article about like passion being all a root of upbringing and stuff, I don't think it has to do with your upbringing, with your environment. I think it has to do with you. It comes from what you love, right?
Of course it has a lot to do with your environment. Because you develop your passion through the environment and through what you are. Like, for example, there is obviously a mix. Of course, passion is something that's inside you. No one gives you a passion. It's like, have a passion. But passion is something that you develop. And in that development, a lot of different factors come in. Like you just asked me, when your mom speaks passionately to you, does that affect you? Does that make you passionate? So there is an outside factor when it comes to passion. And you have to differentiate passion in different ways. Because passion can be a driving force, but there's so many aspects to passion, like I said. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with your surrounding. And like I said, when you're in a situation when you're not financially stable or, you know, your mental health, for example, isn't in the best place, passion is not a thing that you can afford. You have to put that aside and just focus on getting on by. And there is no passion in that. You just need to pay your rent and keep a roof over your head. And at that point, it's survival. And I feel like this is coming from a very, very real place because I've been there.
Well, you've been on your own for how long now?
No, even before that, like when I lived with my mom, I saw it in real person. And passion has nothing to do with that. It's about putting dinner on the table for your kids. And in order to do that, my mom wasn't passionate about working in factories. No. She wasn't passionate about that. But she had to do it. She was passionate about other things. But she couldn't do it because she had kids and she had responsibilities.
But is there something that she likes, that she likes to do, that she would devote her, the rest of her life to? Is there an interest of hers that really sparks a lot of inspiration and joy in her?
The thing is, my mom, we lived in a very like low financial, like below poverty line for a really long time. When you're in that situation, you really don't have time to be like, oh, what am I passionate about? Let me just, you know, get 5 minutes. Because there are times when my mom didn't even sleep 3 hours a night. And there are times when throughout my educational career when I didn't sleep 3 hours because I worked two jobs and I went to school full time and I volunteered and I had other curriculum activities. Now that has had something to do with passion. Because I was passionate about not being in a financial situation anymore. But for my mom, she wasn't afforded that. She forgot about her passions because she just had a deadline. She had a bottom line that she had to reach, which was to pay the rent so that we wouldn't be out on the street. And my mom did not have time to be like, oh, I really like doing this. I really like doing that.
Right.
I maybe saw my mom maybe once a year. Have fun.
Once a year, oof. But is there, how about now? Like, is she doing things that she always wanted to do?
Again.
At this point?
She has to pay for her life, so she has to still work. My mom works with elderly people, taking care of elderly people. It's a really, really hard job, and it's basically like 24/7 kind of job. She has to drive long ways, and it's, she's not passionate about that. My mom's like in her late 50s.
She doesn't have a passion, right?
I feel like that's a very like a privileged place.
You think so?
Of perspective.
Yeah.
Because of course we all have passions. I'm sure my mom has amazing dreams. I know she has amazing dreams and passions. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if she doesn't work, she will have no place to live. And the thing is like I'm just finishing up my school and we're just coming up. So now we're able to get all those things. But the fact is like for a really, really, really long time, up until recently, my mom didn't have that opportunity. And I think that's a reality for a lot of people. And we really need to be grateful for all the sacrifices that our parents make for us. Because we have the privilege to be sitting here talking about passion, giving our perspectives on passion. But at the end of the day, we are here because our parents sacrificed their passions.
Well, I'm here because my grandparents sacrificed their passions for us. You know, they worked tirelessly. They had those factory jobs. They had those shoveling the snow for 65 cents an hour jobs, you know. They had pretty tough things to do. And yeah, we're here because of them living out our passions. Very good points. So we're going to take a little break. But after the break, I'm going to talk to you about this really cool podcast I found on passion and self-curiosity. So we will be back after the break.
You're listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 69 AM. Don't go anywhere.
Your upcoming event at an affordable price? CJLO's got you covered. From on-air ads to website banners and even live broadcasts, we got it all. Check out www.cjlo.com/advertise for more information and the ways we can help you promote your event. CJLO, we're getting louder.
Times to the Pacific Coast. Meet the bands that shape our great nation's musical landscape. In English et en français. Tune in with The Cornus Crow every Sunday at 10 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal.
Welcome back to CJLO 1690 AM.
For CJLO News,
you are listening to Sparkling Introspection. So before the break, we spoke about passion in the workplace and relationships. Also, the fact that is passion related to environment? Erdine says yes. I think it's related to, within. It comes from within and the environment. So now we're going to talk about this really cool podcast I found by Elizabeth Gilbert. She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And she, so the podcast I found was, it's from Oprah's Super Soul Conversations. She discusses passion, how it differs from self-curiosity. And she, Elizabeth, is known for being a super passionate person. In many interviews, she's told people to follow their dreams. However, she doesn't tell people this anymore because of the stress and pressure attached to this word. So, I'm going to play for you a little clip that really illustrates what I just said. I think it's really cool. Oops, I'm having a bit of technical difficulty here. Sorry, bear with me.
Anyways, so this podcast, I don't know if you guys know Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes, yeah, she's
Elizabeth Gilbert. She is, like Christina said, she's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And basically she says that she's been passionate about... being a writer and doing writing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she is.
And she, for a really long time, she worked towards being a writer, making a living. But unfortunately, you know, passion isn't something that pays off. But for her, she was able to publish Eat, Pray, Love, which was on the New York Times bestseller list for 199 weeks. By 2010, and of course it was made into that big blockbuster movie starring
Julia Roberts,
and it's a memoir of her life.
Yeah, it's a really cool movie. So,
and where that was, instead of that anxiety and that urgency and that panic about chasing a passion that you're not even feeling, do something that's a lot easier, a lot simpler. Just follow your curiosity. Because curiosity is such a gentler, kinder, more welcoming, more humane instinct than passion. And it's so much more accessible, right? Like, passion is this really intimidating, grand concept. It really is the burning tower of flame in the desert. And it can be hard to see that, like, on a random Tuesday when you're feeling blue, right? And passion, the other thing about passion is that it's, like, it's demanding, it's greedy, it insists that it take everything out of you. Those are the terms of passion. Passion says throw it all in the pot, risk it all. You want to make an impact, you got to make the huge change. You got to get divorced, shave your head, change your name, move to Nepal, open up an orphanage, right? And maybe not everyone needs to do that this week, okay? You know, maybe it's okay. And passion, the other thing I should say about it, if we're being very honest, it can sometimes be a dangerous impulse. And for evidence of that, we're going to do just a little thought experiment here. I want you all to just pause for a moment, and each and every one of you, look back at your own history, and let's remember the most passionate love story of your life. Remember that? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? And what kind of condition were you in when it was over? And passion had taken what it always demands, which is everything out of you, right? What kind of state were you in when passion was done having its way with you? And the reason I'm saying all this is because, in contrast to the demands, the urgency, the greed, the mania that can be associated with passion, curiosity doesn't do that to you. Curiosity will never strip your life bare. Curiosity will never make outrageous demands upon you. Curiosity will never take. Curiosity only does one thing, and that is to give. And what it gives you are clues on the incredible scavenger hunt of your life every single day. And curiosity is accessible every single day because it's so mild and the stakes are so low. Like, even on the worst days, there's like something you can find that you're a tiny little bit interested in. No matter how small it is, no matter how nothing it seems, no matter how it's not gonna change the world, no matter how you're not gonna mortgage your house to go do it, like, there's something in your life always on every day that you're a little bit curious about. That is the trail of breadcrumbs, the scavenger hunt, the channel that God feeds the little clues for on the incredible scavenger hunt of your specific and precious life. And the only thing that curiosity will ever ask of you is that you turn your head a quarter of an inch, you bother to turn your head a quarter of an inch and just look a little closer at one of those clues. And it might be nothing. you might follow it for a few inches and be like, oh, no, that wasn't a thing. And that's fine, because you didn't, like, burn your whole life to go do it. You just looked like, am I in? No, I guess I'm not into that. And you let it go, right? And it might be nothing, and then the next time there's another clue, and that might be, you know, and you might just go for a really long time doing that, you know? And it might lead you nowhere, or this might happen. And I've seen it happen, because this is the flight of the natural-born hummingbird. See, the world is divided into two kinds of people. There are the jackhammers, and there are the hummingbirds. Jackhammers are people like me. You know, you put a passion in our hands, and we're just like, and we don't look up, and we don't veer, and we're focused on that till the end of time. And it's efficient. You get a lot done, but we tend to be obsessive and fundamentalist and sometimes a little difficult and loud. Hummingbirds spend their lives doing it very differently. They move from tree to tree, from flower to flower, from field to field, trying this, trying that. And two things happen. They create incredibly rich, complex lives for themselves. And they also end up cross-pollinating the world. That is the service that you do if you are a hummingbird person, because you bring an idea from here to over here, where you learn something else and you weave it in, and then you take it here to the next thing you do, so that your perspective ends up keeping the entire culture aerated and mixed up and open to the new and fresh. And if that is how you are constructed by your divine maker, then that is how we need you to be.
So that was Elizabeth Gilbert from Eat, Pray, Love. I just find that so inspiring. She says the world is divided into hummingbirds and jackhammers. The hummingbirds are the curious ones. The jackhammers are the ones that they know exactly what they want, and they go after it until they get it. Would you consider yourself a hummingbird or a jackhammer?
I don't consider myself either of them.
I consider myself a hummingbird. I'm a little curious bird. I dibble dabble here and there into what I
like. But also, like, I know she talks about, like, hummingbirds and how they go from place to place. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said about, like, hard work and discipline. I have many interests. I can hummingbird from many things. Mm-hmm. But every single that I do, I put a lot of work and passion and dedication into it. And that's just, like, I feel like, yeah. And I feel like a lot of the times when people are like, I'm a hummingbird, but they just like do
people
something.
People actually say that to you?
Okay, well, it's a thing. Like, I am, you know, like, I have many interests. It's just, they don't actually, like, when things get hard, they just kind of bail. Like, you shouldn't.
But what if they're not interested in it?
But, I mean, I feel like you have to put in a certain amount of work. Because, like, let's say for journalism was very hard for me in the beginning. Writing is very hard, and I write the news, same, like, every Sunday, and it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. But the more you write, the more natural you become at it. And now it's very easy for me. Yeah. It comes very easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I could have stopped when it got hard, because I was like, this is not my passion.
But what if it's not hard for you? What if you're just doing it, you've tried it many times, and you realize it's just not for you?
Yeah, I mean, continue? That's different.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times I've seen people just like, it's too hard. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm